In many ways, today's gospel is a Super Bowl-worthy commercial for Outdoor Ministries, and I'm really grateful for that. Because the transfiguration of our Lord is the ultimate mountaintop experience. Jesus, the greatest camp counselor of all time, takes a small group of counselors in training on a hike up a mountain to a place apart. And on that mountaintop, Peter and James and John literally see Jesus in a new way, and the direction of their lives shifted forever. For the first 8 chapters of Mark's Gospel, and in the weeks of Epiphany, we've been learning about who Jesus is through his words and his actions. We've been invited to come and see and follow and to be part of this new thing that God is doing. And as all this is going on, Peter and James and John and the other disciples, they were amazed. They were confused. They were overwhelmed. They were impressed. And today they were terrified. They were, as the kids like to say, feeling all the feels. Thanks, Mary. I'm sure they thought they had a pretty good idea of who this Jesus was. But on this day, for Peter and James and John on top of a mountain and a place apart, God's glory in Jesus Christ was revealed to them in a new way, and in a very clear way. Because Mark tells us that Jesus was changed into something so beautiful and blinding white, even whiter than anything in a Tide commercial. And the disciples saw him talking with Moses and Elijah, revealing that their new friend Jesus was the fulfillment of both the law and the prophets. And if that wasn't enough, the very voice of God came from the cloud and told them, "This is my son. Listen." In that moment, Peter and James and John not only understood who Jesus was in a new way, but they had been very clearly enlightened as to what their response needed to be. Listen to him. And from that point forward, everything was different. Not just for those disciples, but also for Jesus. Their whole direction changed. And we know, because we've all read ahead in the story, that when they descended the mountain, Jesus set his face toward Jerusalem, where he would be arrested and tried and crucified. And 3 days later, he would rise from the dead so that Peter and James and John and you and I and all of God's beloved might see the shining face of Jesus. That day on the mountaintop changed everything. About 15 years ago, shortly after I began serving as Nawakwa's director, I got a phone call out of the blue from a woman named Betty, who identified herself as the granddaughter of Hadwin Fisher, Nawakwa's founder. And she and her brother were going to be in the area on Saturday, and they were hoping it would be okay if they could stop by for a visit, which, of course, it was. And I was pretty excited to meet these people who were Nawakwa royalty. But when Saturday morning rolled around, the weather was dreadful. It was raining. It was cold. It was dreary beyond belief. But I filled my travel mug with hot coffee, and my big dog, Cyril, and I got into the car, and we headed to camp, hoping that our special visitors would also brave the weather. And Betty and Richard, they didn't disappoint. At precisely 9:30, I saw them walking toward the office, and we all reached the door at the same time. And as I pulled open the interior door, Betty opened the storm door, and she pulled me into a huge embrace, while Cyril, my dog, pushed past me to go greet Richard, and all of a sudden, I had a horrifying thought that they might not be dog people. But it was too late to do anything about that, because Cyril was a people dog. And he was 90 pounds of pure, fluffy, happy people dog. And there was no stopping. But as it turned out, I had no need to fear, because from inside Betty's embrace, I heard Richard now crouched down on the office porch, and he was saying, "Oh, who are you? You're a nice doggy. Yes, you are. You are a very nice doggy, Richard." Cyril was indeed a very nice doggy. And I was completely relieved that they were dog people. And Betty and Richard had not been to Nawakwa in years, and they wanted to see the place despite the weather. Before going outside, Richard asked if I had a Bible that he could borrow, which I did, because it's an and they were referring to people who were completely unknown to me by names like Mama, and Grandma, and Uncle Bob. Even though it was raining, they wanted to go see Fisher Memorial Chapel. And so while we were out there, I was able to share with them the story of how that place, one of Milwaukee's most sacred places, came into being. How that huge rock right over there, sticking out of the earth in front of the altar, that was the favorite spot of their grandfather. And how he would retreat there from the main camp and read his Bible and pray and listen for God's word. And I told them how when Dr. Fisher died just 10 years into the life of Mpwapwa, his friends chose that spot to create a beautiful woodland chapel to memorialize him. Well, at Fisher Chapel, I shared with them stories of Grandpa Fisher's legacy, how the ministry that he started had grown and changed, and how the ministry had begun to develop and how it was copied by other people, Mpwapwa's descendants, who borrowed and duplicated goals and curriculum and even building plans to create more centers of leadership development. And I shared with them stories of growth and change in our camp corporation, so the success and growth of Camp Kirkenwald, and how our two camps that are only 50 miles apart as the crow flies neither compete with nor duplicate the other's program. Rather, we complement each other to carry out that shared mission of strengthening the church, that mission begun by their grandfather. I told them about other programs and our incredible staff of young people looking for real ministry leadership opportunities, and I told them about our newest ministry at that time, the Little Farmhouse of Prayer, and the dreams we had for that place. But Betty and Richard's time was running short, and they really wanted to see our temple, the one place that seemed to have made an impression on their memories. And I wasn't surprised, because they're not alone in that. Upper Temple is Mpwapwa's mountaintop worship space. It has a panoramic view of the surrounding valleys that are lined with fruit orchards, and you can see Gettysburg off to the southeast and the first range of the Appalachian Mountains off to the west. It's really stunning. And thousands of campers have fond memories of singing evening vespers while watching the glorious sunsets in that space. It's only half a mile or so from the center of camp, but as its name suggests, the walk to Upper Temple is entirely uphill. And it was still drizzling, so thankfully, they decided to drive. And we got out of the car at the top of the hill and walked into the center of this big, stone amphitheater. And Richard stopped in his tracks, and he blurted out, "This is the place. I can see it all. Mother and Dad would have been there, and Grandpa Fisher would have been over there, and Verna would have stood there, and Otto would have stood there." And now it was time for Betty and Richard to tell me a story. And it is a story that has become my very favorite Mpwapwa story. I've shared it countless times. You may have heard it. I will give you the Reader's Digest version in case you've forgotten. It's the story of how, in 1936, Herman Hammer, Betty and Richard's father, was graduating from Gettysburg Seminary, planning to realize his life's dream to become a missionary. Except, he missed one teeny tiny little requirement. He needed to be married at the time of deployment, which was now 2 months away, and he was single. So he calls up Camp Mpwapwa, and he asks to speak to Marion Fisher, the camp director's daughter. And when she comes to the phone, he explains his situation to her, that he needs a wife, quickly, and he proposed marriage, with the enticing promise of moving halfway around the world for an undetermined amount of time. My favorite part of the story is Marion's response, because she asks her, "Can you give me the weekend to think about it?" So Betty told me that her mother spent the weekend in conversation with her parents and with her friends on the Mpwapwa faculty, weighing her options and considering this opportunity that came as a complete surprise. Marion Fisher was faithful and brave and evidently up for adventure, because on Monday morning when Herman calls back to the camp and romantically asks her, "Well, what do you say?" Mary's response is, "I'm game." It's truly one of the great love stories of all time. They were married just a few days later with Dr. Fisher officiating, and soon they left for South America where they served the church and they raised their family for the next 40 years. Their wedding took place at our temple, and that was, of course, what Richard was seeing in his mind's eye as he stood there on the ground where his parents made promises to each other before God. And it was a really lovely moment. And they had told the parents' story so well that I was convinced that I, too, could see Herman and Marion in their wedding party standing before us. And then Maggie said, "Yes, this is the place." And she reached into her pocket, and she pulled out a small plastic bag. And Richard removed that borrowed Bible from his jacket. And I realized that the purpose of their visit that day was for something much greater than nostalgic sightseeing. Recognizing that they were there for the purpose of scattering their parents' ashes on the spot where they began their life together, I knew that it was time for me to give my new friends a little bit of space. And so I quietly began to back away as Richard opened his Bible. And what happened next was something that I hope I never forget. Betty reached out, and she grabbed my arm, and she said, "No, you stay. You're part of this now." So I stepped back into the space. And I listened as Richard read from the Psalms. And then the three of us stood on that mountaintop holding hands, and Betty offered a beautiful prayer. Thanksgiving and praise for her parents and her grandparents and their lives of faithful witness. And as the ashes of Herman and Marion were scattered there on that rainy mountaintop, I found myself weeping with my new friends over the lives of people I had never met, which was odd, but really beautiful, because that's what happens when we enter into the body of Christ fully. We share one another's joys and sorrows. That morning on the mountaintop, several things became clear to me. My own call to serve was spoken by Betty just as clearly as the voice of God spoke to the disciples. "You're part of this now." And the "this" that she was talking about was far greater than that simple memorial service for Herman and Marion. This was Grandma Fisher's mission to strengthen the body of Christ at the little church camp in Adams County, and to do so faithfully and carefully, enlisting the help and the expertise of others to provide hospitality and faith-formative experiences, to equip and to empower leadership, and to collect and share the stories of faithful lives well-lived. There was no dazzling light in the sky on that rainy morning, but my heart was filled with light. And the direction of my heart changed in ways that I am still discovering. And I'm really very, very grateful for that mountaintop experience. But even though I'm the camp director, and my job, a big part of it, is to encourage people to come to camp, I have to be honest with you and tell you that it's not so much about the mountaintop. It's about seeing the light of the risen Christ shining around us each and every day. Because when we are enlightened by the light of Christ, we reflect that light back into the world. Jesus is shining in this place today, in the faces of the people around you, the voices of the children, and in the many ways that this community cares for one another and those outside our walls. But most especially, Jesus shines in the promise of forgiveness and new life offered to all of us through his body and his blood. Brothers and sisters, as you leave this mountaintop today, remember that we, God's beloved children, carry and reflect that shining light of the risen Christ into a dark and dreary world. So shine. Be the light of Jesus Christ. Amen.